O satellite for il montagnin, d'aucune charge et mal.
Pope Benedict will make a pastoral visit to Malta this weekend to mark the 1950th anniversary of when the Apostle St. Paul was shipwrecked on the island. The Pope's 24-hour trip to Malta will be the third papal visit to this Mediterranean island, following visits there by Pope John Paul in 1990 and 2001. The head of the Catholic Church in Malta is Archbishop Paul Cremona, and he spoke to us about this weekend's papal visit. Malta's population is nearly 98% Catholic, and Archbishop Cremona began by telling us how the Apostle found fertile ground in Malta for the spread of the gospel message during his three-month stay on the island.
You know that we have invited the Pope this year because we are celebrating the 1950th anniversary of St. Paul's shipwreck on the island. In Malta, we consider this as a providential shipwreck, because according to the Act, Paul did not want to leave where he was sheltering, but it was the captain who wanted. St. Paul would not have chosen a small island, which nobody knew about, to preach. He would search for Corinth or Rome or Ephesus, but certainly not the small island. So we consider it as a gift from divine providence that he came over. It seems that St. Luke and even Paul were really astonished, pleasurably astonished, because they found that on this island there were people who, although as they are called Barbaroi, because they were not polished culturally, they immediately accepted this shipwreck. They didn't know who Paul was, so it was their great hospitality, which he didn't find obviously in other places. And the second thing is that he found in them already a great sense of the divine, because they interpreted the miracle of the viper, which we find in the Acts of the Apostles, and they interpreted before, when he was bitten, and after he did not fall dead, in terms of the divine. So I think these two things helped so that the islanders would be prepared to hear Paul's preaching. At the end of the 3 months that he stayed over here, when he was going away from the island, we interpret what happened, that crowd of Maltese who were sending him off and giving him all the provisions that he needed, we say that there was a change. Now it was a new Christian community that was seeing Paul off from the island.
Indeed, Paul is known as the apostle to the Gentiles, the great evangelizer of the Christian faith, and this seems to be an inheritance that the Maltese church has taken very seriously indeed, from this tiny island in the Mediterranean with a great and long tradition of seafaring. You've become a very, very missionary church. In fact, the first appointment with the Pope has with the Church of Malta, as you pointed out, the special guests are the missionaries, the priests, nuns and lay missionaries that the Maltese Church has provided to the Universal Church. How do you explain this?
Well, I think there was a great sense of, you know, sharing one's faith. And I think even the bishops on the island, all throughout, I think especially during the last 2-3 centuries, and they went everywhere. They are in the 5 continents, all of them in different places. And since there was a good number of vacations, especially at that time for the priestly and the religious, female and male, on the island, I think that the church in Malta wanted to share this great gift of divine providence with other churches which needed other personnel, so that these new churches would really come to life and become strong. Thank God, in the last, let's say, decade, we have also had many lay missionaries going abroad, some even with families, to evangelize other places. So that is a great gift that the Lord has given us, and the church in Malta has sought to share this great gift with other places where they needed this kind of help.
From a church, from a missionary church, an evangelizing church, from a country of emigration, you have in recent years become a country that is increasingly witnessing the phenomenon of immigration. We know that out of 400,000 Maltese inhabitants, it is estimated that 13,000 are immigrants, generally from the wider Mediterranean basin, from the Middle East, from Northern Africa, people from different cultures and different religions. What is the lessons that the Maltese Church is learning from this experience?
Well, I think that the first thing is that we have to preach what is, I think, of fundamental importance in the Word of God, that everybody, whatever his race, his religion, his skin color, is made to the image of God. And so the other things are secondary, whatever. And we're trying to put that message across so that I don't think that fundamentally the Maltese people are racist. But because we had great numbers of immigrants coming over to Malta, there is a kind of fear that some kind of racism would arise in the island. So we're trying to put that message across. The second is that the church is itself helping. There are about 400 of the immigrant families. Now I'm speaking about those who came by boat, because in the island there are also a number of immigrants who have come from, let's say, especially from over Europe. And obviously they are not so seen because they're the same color as we are. But since the people that came from Northern Africa and from even further south in Africa, because they have a different skin color, they are more visible. But with all these, the church is trying to help. The church has great respect for everybody and tries to help as much as it can.
Finally, can you please describe for us, if possible, the atmosphere that we can breathe in these days in Malta?
I think there is great expectation on the major part, on the main part of this, the people of the island. Obviously, there has been also some, and we have to say it, that even the local media, not everybody has been, let's say, gentle towards this visit. But on the whole, the Maltese people is waiting for the Pope with great expectation, with great love, with great expectation for his word and for his message. He will have a very warm and loving and faithful welcome on this island.
That was Archbishop Paul Cremona talking to my colleague Emma McCarthy. As we heard earlier, a major new issue facing Malta over the past decade has been the arrival on its shores of thousands of illegal immigrants, mostly from Africa and the Middle East. Most land on Malta by mistake, whilst trying to cross the sea to Italy from Libya in often rickety and desperately overcrowded boats. Almost without exception, those migrants who land in Malta are held behind lock and key for several months in grim detention centres while their status is determined. Father Joseph Cassar is the head of the Jesuit Refugee Services in Malta that is at the forefront of trying to provide advice and assistance to migrants and help ease their integration into Maltese society. I began by asking Father Joseph, what message the Maltese people were hoping to hear from the Pope during this weekend visit?
I would say there are two different sets of messages. On the one hand, all committed Catholics would want to be confirmed in the faith, and that is why they would be looking forward to the Pope's visit this weekend. They would want words of encouragement, they would want words of hope, but also words which show that the Christian faith is still very relevant in today's world. Obviously, on the other hand, the whole argument of abuse cannot be skirted. And I would say that there are a lot of people who are waiting for some word expressing apology, which applies also to the local scene, has made an apology. The bishops here have also made an apology.
What kind of reaction and feedback was there to that apology by the bishops ahead of this papal visit?
Well, that has come rather late in the day, and only just a couple of days ago. Some people received it positively, but those concerned have expressed regret that they had not yet been met by the bishops. Say that they are not interested in compensation or anything of the sort, but in having the possibility to discuss with the highest authorities in the church their suffering over the years.
Malta is a small and very densely populated island, and surveys show that many of the Maltese people harbour xenophobic views and fears about this influx of illegal immigrants landing on the island's shores. So just how much hostility is there among the local population towards these migrants? Father Joseph again.
I would say the hostility rises and falls according to the number of arrivals. So if the number of new arrivals of boat people were to go up again, then more of the hostility would come to the fore. For as long as people, newer arrivals would not be coming, then the hostility is somewhat abated. But otherwise, I believe it is only dormant. It is unfortunately very present and very there.
And how does this hostility manifest itself? Give me some examples.
Well, for example, a lot of African migrants would complain of being in many ways either harassed or else discriminated against, or perhaps given weird looks, or remarks would be passed in their presence in various situations. So this could be anywhere from boarding a bus to accessing a public service. Unfortunately, it shouldn't be that way, to going to a place of entertainment, but also generally even in other situations. The trouble is that, of course, people are regarded with a rather negative perception, given that all boat migrants, who are generally asylum seekers, nearly everybody without exception applies for asylum, everybody is put in detention as the first means of reception. Therefore, the whole system of detention criminalizes migrants in the minds of people. So the reaction is generally hostile and very unlike what St. Paul, which the Pope's visit is meant to commemorate, what St. Paul's visit to Malta and the initial misgivings as recounted in the Acts of the Apostles, then turning to hospitality, that is now turned on its head.
I was speaking to Father Joseph Cassar of Jesuit Refugee Services in Malta.
Where we